Con el under $3 menu de McDonald's, un McChicken es solo $1.50. Resulta que ser el héroe de tu primita solo te cuesta $1.50. Por un McChicken, good deal. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to Football Full Circle, live right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network and Sirius XM Channel 159. I am Ben Stevens. He is Scott Wetzel filling in for Joe Lisi on this Wednesday edition of FFC. Scott, a big day in the National Football League as the offseason continues to churn. We'll look at some of the quarterback markets, both as it pertains to the 2023 NFL Draft underway in late April with the Combine on the horizon in Indianapolis. And, of course, the offseason market for quarterbacks that have already played in the NFL as well. Scott, thanks for being here on FFC.
Hey, good to be here. You can never turn off the football season, right? I don't know if I necessarily want to break down an hour of the XFL, but when it's the NFL, we could definitely do that for sure. And you got some good storylines, right? Whether it's Aaron Rodgers, whether it's Derek Carr, whether it's Baker Mayfield, there's at least a dozen teams you could probably come up with that need quarterbacks. So it's going to be a crazy with the draft and everything. This is really going to be a crazy offseason.
And it will be interesting, Scott, to see which way a lot of these NFL organizations that have quarterback questions or maybe a need for a new signal caller decide to go this offseason. Is it a focus on the NFL draft if they are picking early enough in that first round, or can make a lucrative enough trade package to move up in the draft? The Chicago Bears have the number one overall pick. They are set on Justin Fields as their starter moving forward. They will welcome a lot of offers for that number one overall pick as people try to move up the board. And as we are here, Scott, in this NFL draft season leading up to the combine, of course, it's smokescreen season, it's hype season, where some individual prospects garner a little bit more attention. That has been the case, as I have been seeing all on social media in these last few days. The focus on the Florida quarterback, Anthony Richardson, Scott, and all that he can do with the athletic tool set that he has and one of the strongest arms you will see, maybe a little bit unearthed as of right now in terms of his ability as a pocket passer, but gives you glimpses of just how talented he could be at the quarterback position. We have seen some of those futures start to change as it pertains to the NFL draft and that number one overall pick. Anthony Richardson now making his way up the board, Scott. The fifth best price, past Will Anderson, the edge rusher and defensive player from Alabama. Anthony Richardson is now 12-1 to be that number one overall selection. Bryce Young, the 2021 high has been winner out of Alabama, a quarterback, of course, still remains the favorite, though, Scott, at minus 150.
Yeah, it's amazing, Ben, isn't it, how the thinking of what you want to get for your NFL quarterback through college has changed. You know, used to be the pecking order probably was, all right, arm strength, got to have an NFL arm. You got to play in an NFL system. You got to be under center. You kind of shy away from guys that were always in shotgun. Certainly you shied away from guys that were in the Veer offense, triple option, that type of thing from yesteryear. Whereas now, yeah, you need the arm, but now it's the athletic guy. We'll teach the guy to throw the football. Give me a guy who is athletic, could run around, can scramble, can throw the ball a little bit, and that's where the Anthony Richardson thing comes into play. I mean, was he great in Florida? No. Was he good? Yeah, but not great by any stretch. And yet, but he has the qualities of the Jalen Hurts. He's the next Jalen Hurts, the Pat Mahomes, you know, the Kyler Murrays of the world. That's what they now look for an NFL quarterback. It's amazing.
Yeah, when you think about what these quarterbacks can do, it's not just the ability to break the pocket and scramble and pick up yards with their feet. It's the ability to maneuver the pocket and still try to find those throws. There are clips that you can see from Anthony Richardson. Maybe, though, the completion percentage at times during his years at Florida last year in his redshirt sophomore campaign, the first under Billy Napier, he had a less than 54% completion percentage, 53.8 to be exact, 17 touchdown passes to 9 interceptions. But there's times, Scott, when you look at the tape. He expands the pocket. He keeps the play alive and then quickly sets his feet to throw a ball 50, 55 yards, 60 yards downfield, which is just raw intangibles, really, you cannot teach. Right now, again, Bryce Young, still the odds-on favorite to be that number one overall selection. Whoever trades up to get that first overall selection from the Chicago Bears, it still, to me, Scott, should be a focus on Bryce Young. I think he is the best quarterback in this draft class, ahead of C.J. Stroud from Ohio State, ahead of Anthony Richardson from Florida, certainly ahead of Will Levis from Kentucky. If you want to look at tape, I recommend you go watch what Will Levis did this past year with the Kentucky Wildcats, leaving a lot to be desired. I still think Bryce Young is the best quarterback in this 2023 draft class.
I think so, too. Without being there and looking at the game films and dissecting it all, you're right about Levis. He kind of reminds me of Malik Willis. I told people this guy was awful at Liberty his senior year. I mean, great junior year, but he didn't show anything. I mean, he was thrown for less than 200 yards. I never understood the fascination with him. So I get the same kind of sense with Levis in Kentucky. I just don't see the numbers or why they think he's the greatest quarterback out there. To me, it's Bryce Young. Is he big enough, strong enough? Is he going to be Jalen Hurts part two? Does it help that he played at Alabama and that's where Hurts for the most part played, in Oklahoma the other one year? I suppose, but he does seem to have all the qualities, arm strength, tall, the ability to run when need be. And I wonder, Ben, if Chicago, I'm sure this story is going to come up. Are they really sold on Justin Fields? If they can get a first round pick for him, it wouldn't be the craziest thing to move on from him. I'm not a Justin Fields guy. I'm done with my Ohio State quarterbacks.
I mean, when it comes to Justin Fields, if they can get a first round pick for him, though, I think that would be different in terms of still trying to hold on to that number one overall pick. I believe Justin Fields is the guy. He will have talent now around him with Chicago moving forward as they have the highest cap space this offseason, and I think they might be listening to offers and putting those smoke screens out there to make the trade capital they can get back even that much higher. More football full circle up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We are back on Football Full Circle, live right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network. It's Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens with you here on this Wednesday edition of FFC. Scott, to end out yesterday's show, Joe and I were looking through the top 10 in the NFL draft order. Of course, right now, Chicago has that number one overall pick. I believe if there is the idea or perhaps speculation that Justin Fields might not be the answer for the Bears organization moving forward, it is just Chicago feeding into those smoke screens to make the draft capital they could receive in compensation for the number one overall pick even that much more desirable. I believe in Justin Fields as their starting quarterback moving forward into year number 3 in the National Football League once they give him the facilities and the resources to be able to have success, restoring that offensive line, giving him some actual playmakers on the outside to throw the football to. And Chicago is in a really good position to do that with holding the number one overall pick, taking in what most likely will be a large return for that first overall selection. And Scott, they're the only team with north of $70 million in cap space this NFL offseason, the only team that has more than $100 million in cap space this offseason as well. So the Bears can really bolster up their roster. But as we were looking at the top 10 of the NFL draft order here, Scott, for April in the 2023 NFL draft class, you mentioned it, a ton of teams around the National Football League this offseason are going to have some questions to answer as it pertains to their quarterback position, whether that be through the draft, if their draft pick is early enough, or if they go to the veteran quarterback market. There are 6 teams, Scott, really in the top 10 I think you could make an argument for right now that will look to add a quarterback some form or fashion this offseason. Number 2, the Houston Texans select there. At number 4, it's the Indianapolis Colts. At 5, the Seattle Seahawks potentially look to their quarterback of the future after Geno Smith, who had a career year this past year. And then, Scott, I think teams 7 through 8, the Raiders at 7. At number 8, it's the Atlanta Falcons. And at 9, it's the Carolina Panthers. I think you could make an argument, Scott, and let me know if you disagree, that all 6 of those teams could look to add a quarterback, and some of them certainly will add a quarterback this offseason.
Yeah, listen, and most of them have to. I mean, does Seattle have to? No, but and Atlanta, no, but you know the Raiders do, right? I mean, the Colts do, you know the Texans do. And then, like I said, if you wanted to throw the Bears in there, you could even add one more. So the problem is, Ben, I don't think you have six quarterbacks. I mean, unless the ratings come out for these college kids that once they go into the combines and everything, and we start hearing about guys we never thought would be pro prospects that these scouts for whatever reason love. But, you know, on the surface, you might have one or two, maybe three coming out of college. And then what do you have on the free agent market in the NFL? Carr? Maybe Aaron Rodgers if he moves on from Green Bay, or maybe Jordan Love if the Packers say they want to get rid of him. Jimmy G, but you want to throw Baker Mayfield in there? I mean, so we're only talking about the top 10 teams. You know, how about all the other teams that need quarterbacks? So there's just not enough, pegs to put in the so many holes in the NFL. That's why it's going to be interesting. Some of these mediocre quarterbacks are going to get a ton of money because there's just so many teams that need quarterbacks.
And that's the quarterback market, right? It's why when you hear reports that Daniel Jones is asking for $45 million.
That's crazy, right?
Right. And I think, Scott, it does come into comparison. Like, what is the validity of that report? Has the negotiation actually happened? Has Daniel Jones really sat there with his representation in a conversation with the Giants and said, pay me $45 million or I'm looking elsewhere? But the reason he can do that is because of the demand that quarterbacks will hold this offseason. We have seen the market expand. Kyler Murray is making more than $46 million this year. He's coming off a torn right ACL. Is Kyler Murray, who makes the third highest salary for an NFL quarterback, Scott, the third best NFL quarterback in the league? No, it's because they're hitting a point in their negotiations and in the contracts where last offseason when Kyler negotiated that large extension, that's what the market says quarterbacks are worth. Patrick Mahomes makes $45 million. To put that in comparison to what Daniel Jones or Geno Smith or others might be asking for this offseason. So, Scott, it will be interesting to see the difference then if teams look to a rookie quarterback if they can or to the veteran market. And, Scott, two of the biggest names, of course, from a veteran quarterback perspective, Aaron Rodgers, once he emerges from his darkness retreat, and Derek Carr. Scott, we got some reports over the weekend that Derek Carr was in New York visiting with the Jets and that both sides are smitten with one another. The Jets pitched Derek Carr on being a first ballot Hall of Famer if he plays for gangrene. Derek Carr loves everything the New York Jets have entering the 2023 campaign as well. But Scott, there's an interesting wrinkle to that because further reporting has said the New York Jets, although they could offer Derek Carr a contract right here, right now, and as a free agent, he is even available to sign prior to the February 15th start date of officially NFL free agency. Derek Carr can sign right now. There hasn't been a contract offer. There's been no numbers reported because I think the Jets, like many other teams that might need a quarterback, Scott, are waiting for Aaron Rodgers and what he wants to do this offseason because he's not a free agent. You would have to put together a lucrative enough trade package to interest the Green Bay Packers to send Aaron Rodgers to your football team. And I think the Jets, Scott, are waiting to see what Aaron decides to do before they move forward with Derek Carr or any other quarterback options. Scott, do you think Aaron Rodgers, just in who he is, whatever team he ends up on for 2023, is the best quarterback right here, right now, at this stage of his career, nearing year number 40 on earth, year number 19 in the NFL, that he is the best quarterback in this market?
Yeah, I do. And I'm not a big Aaron Rodgers at this point of his career fan of how he played last year. I think a lot of the stuff that the Packers had was on him, not the wide receivers. Combination, yes, but certainly he played a big role. He had some awful games. But that all said, you know, you think Derek Carr is really good, but, man, he just never won, you know? So, well, why is he going to win with the New York Jets? Are the New York Jets any better than what the Raiders were over the years in Oakland and Las Vegas? You know, probably not. It's one of those things where, you know, the grass is always greener on the other side until you get there, and then you realize it's just as brown over there as it is with you. So there's got to be a reason why Derek Carr fell out of favor that quickly with Josh McDaniel, right? I mean, he had him for one year. He was probably brought in part to work with Derek Carr. And you're telling me that they wouldn't want to bring him back for one more year? I mean, it doesn't make any sense. The question is, do you get Derek Carr, in essence, for free, meaning you don't have to give up compensation, or do you have to pay the Packers, what, 2 first-round picks? Certainly one. I'm sure they're going to be asking for two, and then even then some, and then have to pay, you know, Aaron Rodgers. But if you want to win, if the Jets think they're a win-now team and they have all the pieces, and I don't think they are, but I get you. Yes, I would go Aaron Rodgers.
So I think it's interesting, Scott, because if you look, obviously, at what Aaron Rodgers has done throughout his career, there is zero comparison between Aaron Rodgers and anybody else in this quarterback market. And that certainly pertains to Derek Carr. But there's been some weird connections between the two over the past 2 years, of course, Scott. This offseason now literally compared to one another and might be two pieces in the pie for certain teams. Last year it was Devontae Adams that had the famous quote as he entered his first offseason with the Raiders, "I played with one Hall of Famer, now I get to play with another," in Derek Carr, his best friend from their college days. And we saw how that worked out. And Scott, there literally might be a further comparison. If it's not the New York Jets, it could be the Las Vegas Raiders, because Aaron Rodgers reportedly has interest in reuniting with Devontae Adams. Now, I make all those connections to say, Scott, at this point, moving forward, I think both Aaron Rodgers and Derek Carr are a rather equal upgrade to whatever spot they go to. If Aaron Rodgers goes to the Jets, yes, their odds to make the postseason, their odds to win the NFC, or the AFC rather, become a lot shorter. If Derek Carr goes to New York, I feel the odds would move in a pretty similar way. Obviously, you have the name and the star power of Aaron Rodgers more so than that of Derek Carr, but I think both, Scott, offer up an upgrade for whatever team they end up on this offseason, in a little bit of a similar stance right here, right now, just taking in next year and the years following into account. And Derek Carr might be a little bit more attractive in the market because, again, he's a free agent. You can sign him. There's a lot that comes with Aaron Rodgers in terms of the contract. We'll discuss that up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We are back here on Football Full Circle, live on the Sports Grid Radio Network. It's Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens with you here on this Wednesday of FFC. So, Scott, we're comparing slightly Derek Carr and Aaron Rodgers. Again, history, career, that's all Aaron Rodgers. I don't think Derek Carr will ever equal that, despite what the New York Jets might tell him on his visit to that organization. But Scott, it's interesting when you compare them in this market, because again, Derek Carr is a free agent who can sign anywhere right away. Aaron Rodgers needs to be dealt for. He needs to be traded for. You need to offer up a trade package to the Green Bay Packers that they like, that Aaron Rodgers agrees to, that everybody agrees to, and you're going to have to spend draft capital. You're going to have to give up multiple first-round picks, it would seem, at the going rate for quarterbacks in these blockbuster-type trades. And then, Scott, Aaron Rodgers is owed over $50 million for the 2023 campaign. The Packers might, in that trade deal, be on the hook for some of that contract, but you're going to have to take in a very big cap hit as well. So, Scott, it's all of that wrinkle that you need to add to the context of the conversation when you compare who is the most attractive quarterback in this market this offseason.
Yeah, I mean, unless Rodgers is willing to rework some of his contract, which, you know, maybe he would do if he gets to go to the team that he really wants. I'll say this also about the Raiders with this situation. You know, you get rid of Carr, you would like to think, okay, you know, you have something in the background. You know, without a really stud, I don't think, quarterback coming out of college, and unless they're really into Jarrett Stidham, if they don't get Aaron Rodgers, man, they are just like, you talk about tearing down a franchise for what? For no real reason to get rid of Carr, otherwise you, other than you just, what, you don't like them? So you know the Raiders are really going to, if it takes 2 first-round draft choices, the Raiders will no doubt do it. So the Jets are really going to have to pony it up. And you're right, $50 million. The only thing with the Jets, Ben, is that it is a perfect storm for them. Their running backs, all young, first-year contract or rookie contracts. Wide receivers, all young, rookie-year contracts. You know, so they have the other big-name parts all on their first-year contracts, so they could fit probably that $50 million in if they had to. Yeah. And that's why I say it's kind of better for Rodgers. You get 2 years out of Rodgers, there's no great quarterback out there anyway. So maybe 2 years from now, there's some big stud quarterback that you can go get, you know, in year number three after this experiment is over.
Yeah, that will be a part of it too, right? When you look at Derek Carr, he's only played 8 years in the NFL. Aaron Rodgers has played 18 years in the NFL. Yes, Carr is a veteran, but he can be around for a while. You can invest in him moving forward, not just for this year or next year, but if it works out, for many years to come. That's not necessarily the case for Aaron Rodgers, who has not given us the Tom Brady approach of saying, hey, I want to play until I'm 45 years old. If Aaron Rodgers, Scott, does leave Green Bay, he will do so as a four-time NFL MVP, a one-time Super Bowl champion. If there's a little bit of a chink in the resume for Aaron Rodgers, it's the idea that he is just 12-10 in his postseason record as a starting NFL quarterback. That is maybe the small caveat to the relative great success that Aaron Rodgers has had as an NFL quarterback, and of course all of that, nearly 20 years spent with the Green Bay Packers. Yesterday, though, Scott, a big day in the NFL for the franchise tag. You could start placing the tag on whatever player in your organization you felt fit. That will be a big talking point for quarterbacks this offseason as well. Names like Geno Smith with the Seattle Seahawks, potentially. Maybe Daniel Jones of the New York Giants. But I think, Scott, the biggest of them all, the biggest fish here in this quarterback market as well, if it were to open up, that would be Lamar Jackson. Because still, for the last two off seasons, Lamar and the Baltimore Ravens front office have been going back and forth, unable to reach a contract extension for the long term that Lamar wants. He wants a lot of guaranteed money. They have been off in terms of what those negotiations have looked like. There was optimism, Scott, based on what we are reading and seeing now. It seems maybe it's a little bit more of a bleak picture. I still believe Lamar Jackson will be a Baltimore Raven in 2023. Scott, what do you think?
I don't think so. Well, let's put it this way. I shouldn't say I don't think so, because you're right. I think they could franchise him. But that, they clearly don't want to pay him that kind of money, but they could. But I don't think it's going to be, because he's under a five-year, you know, pick a number, $250 million contract. I don't think they're going to come to terms. His price is only going higher and higher. You know, when he reads Daniel Jones is supposedly asking for $45 million, and by the way, you could ask for whatever you want. Doesn't mean you're going to get it. But still, you know, when he reads these things and he says, well, wait a minute now, Baltimore, you know, I was asking for $40 last year, then I was asking for 42. Now I got Daniel Jones on the open market. I'm twice the quarterback he is. What are you kidding me? Now I'm asking for $50 million. So it's not going in Baltimore's direction. So I don't, you know, if they were going to come to terms, they would have before now. So I think he's going to be gone or on the franchise tag.
It's really quite an interesting thing when you look at Lamar Jackson, because it's also the investment that Baltimore has put into Lamar Jackson, because it's a different offensive scheme as they were running the last few years under Greg Roman than just a plug-and-place quarterback. Here you go. If we have to move on, we do all this. There's not the most talented wide receivers on the outside. I love Rashad Bateman, but he hasn't been healthy in his 2 years in the National Football League. Of course, Mark Andrews is one of the best tight ends in the sport, but it's been a offense, Scott, designed to be ground-first approach, utilize the great athletes they have had at the quarterback position, and all the speed they have alongside Lamar or even Tyler Huntley in the last couple of seasons at that running back spot. If you're going to take a different quarterback and you're going to move on from Lamar Jackson, if the two sides do not come to an agreement, that's a complete restructure of your roster and what your offense looks like. It's a very different approach, both from the organizational side and for the individual in Lamar Jackson here. So I do believe Lamar Jackson will be a Baltimore Raven, but you know Lamar, Scott, is going to look for that contract, not to be franchise tag, which is probably going to be in the monetary amount of $32 to $33 million for 2023. But to have that long-term guaranteed extension that he is the future of the franchise for the Baltimore Ravens. And it's no guarantee, Scott, that if they put the franchise tag on Lamar Jackson, he is not so fed up with how these conversations and discussions have gone that he says, all right, well, until I come to a long-term contract extension, I'm good. I'm going to sit out. I'll wait until we can get that deal done. There is no idea necessarily what that path or timeline looks like for the Ravens and Lamar. This is all just speculation, but it will be a big component of this offseason. So I still believe, Scott, he will be a Baltimore Raven in 2023. It will just be interesting to see under what format and how happy the two sides are at the end of the day. There could also be that franchise tag levied on Geno Smith for Seattle, maybe even Daniel Jones for the New York Giants. And Scott, if it's not, and they're both allowed to approach free agency in some form or fashion, there's a group of quarterbacks that you mentioned. This quarterback market is going to allow even what we would consider middle of the pack starting QBs to have a pretty good payday. Geno Smith, after his career year with Seattle. Daniel Jones, a career year with the New York Giants. Was that because of DJ taking the steps in year number four of his NFL career, or is that because of Brian Daboll and Mike Kafka? I guess it remains to be seen. Jimmy Garoppolo is a free agent right now. Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, some of the other names, Scott, that will factor in to this quarterback market and conversation. Out of that group I just listed, the five or so names, Scott, that I just mentioned, who do you think is the most desirable after potentially Aaron Rodgers, Derek Carr, and maybe even Lamar Jackson if it gets to that point?
I don't know if you threw Jimmy G in there, but I'd probably go Jimmy G. I would take him over Daniel Jones and Baker Mayfield and all the other, you know, stiff quarterbacks that are out there. You know, the unwritten thing here in New York, I'm surprised it doesn't get more play, Ben, and you live here in New York as well, is that, you know, Joe Schoen, the new GM, I thought it was Dave Gettleman that decided not to pick up Daniel Jones' fifth-year option, but it wasn't. It was actually Schoen. Mm-hmm. And, boy, I tell you, they got to be kicking themselves, because if there ever was a player that you'd like to see one more year from, right? He was so bad, Daniel Jones, for 3 years, but he did show you something last year. Absolutely. You'd like to be able to have one more year. It only would have cost them some $20 million, and they decided not to pick up that fifth year. And because of that, he's now a free agent, in essence, this year, and you're looking at to pay him $35 to $40 million and really invest in him, or otherwise you're going to franchise him. And, oh, by the way, they let first-round draft choice Kadarius Toney go for next to nothing to Kansas City, and look what he's doing in the Super Bowl. So, I mean, two boneheaded mistakes that the Giant fan is just ignoring, or I don't know what, but not picking up that fifth-year option of Daniel Jones is going to cost the Giants big time.
It's a really good point, exactly. And I think you just finished off by saying that you would pay him in support of the commission. Daniel Jones had a career year with the offensive minds of Brian Daboll and Mike Kafka. Does that mean he's the quarterback of the future? Obviously, Scott, this new regime and Joe Schoen and Brian Daboll did not feel that was the case entering this past season, the fourth year of his rookie deal, but they did not pick up that fifth-year contract, which would be this year in 2023. So I think it's the conversation they're having in the front office for the Giants right now. Is Daniel Jones worth it? Does it make sense? Scott, there's an old saying, if it doesn't make dollars, it doesn't make sense. And that is what they're going to discuss with the New York Giants. Is Daniel Jones worth whatever price tag? How much is he worth paying? If we can get a deal for $32 million next year, is that worth it? Is 35 too high? Is 40 way too high? And that's the case, because I think a lot of Giants fans, Scott, feel like they're caught in that weird gray area, middle ground, yep, of, hey, we didn't pick up his fifth-year option. Then he went out and had a career year, had a couple of really stellar games against really bad defenses in the Minnesota Vikings and the Indianapolis Colts toward the end of the year, including that masterful playoff performance, and not taking away from Daniel Jones here in terms of what he did against Minnesota. But now you're kind of caught in this middle ground where it feels like, all right, well, he's earned the right to at least get one more year as the quarterback of the Giants, but how much are we going to have to pay him? And the idea of, well, we just have to pay him something, is almost like they're brokering with fate, and they're like, well, we've kind of made our bed, now we have to lay in it. We'll talk about that up next here on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We are back on FFC. That is Football Full Circle, live right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network in Sirius XM Channel 159. He is Scott Wetzel. I am Ben Stevens, rolling with you here on a Wednesday on Football Full Circle. So, Scott, we were talking about what some of the other quarterbacks might garner in terms of contract, expenses, all of that stuff in this quarterback market. And it's almost like the Giants hamstrung themselves a little bit. Scott, I agree with you. Joe Schoen came in as the new general manager in his first offseason. They did not draft Daniel Jones, number 7 overall, in the NFL draft. That was Dave Gettleman in the previous regime. And then Brian Daboll, won Coach of the Year, got the Giants to a 9-win level and a playoff appearance and a Super Wild Card weekend victory on the road in Minneapolis against the Vikings, when Daniel Jones probably had the best performance of his NFL career. All 4 years wrapped up in one. And then it became the idea, Scott, as soon as that game went final and the Giants won, and then we don't need to really look at the stats next week, but if you do, it might tell the overall picture of Daniel Jones' time as the signal caller for the Giants franchise, that after the win on the road in Minneapolis against the Vikings to start off the playoffs, Daniel Jones earned the right to be paid next year for 2023 as the quarterback of the Giants. But Joe, they did not pick up that fifth-year option, which would have been a lot less as a part of his rookie deal. There have been reports that Daniel Jones is asking for $45 million on the open market. And I'm sure the New York Giants do not want to pay him that much and need to figure out what the value would be if it makes sense to bring Daniel Jones back. But it's almost like, Scott, a lot of Giants fans are saying to themselves, well, we got to pay him, right? So, all right, maybe he is worth $35 million, or maybe he is worth $32 million, and we'll just eat the expense and pay him. But, Scott, I don't think it's that simple, and I don't think that's the right approach, because I don't know where elsewhere in the free agency market people are chomping at the bit to bring in Daniel Jones for $38 million and drive up his bargaining price.
Yeah, I mean, where is that market? You know, like I said before, you can ask for $45 million, you can ask for $55 million, you can ask for whatever you want. Doesn't mean you're going to get it, right?
Right.
They could transition tag him, which would supposedly put his salary around $30 million, but allow him to negotiate with other clubs. And long story short, if the Giants decide not to match any offer he gets, they would get two first round picks. Would any team risk giving up two first round picks for Daniel Jones? Probably not, right? So you might be able to bargain yourself a little bit with not the full franchise tag, but the transition tag, which is top 10 quarterbacks versus top 5 quarterback salaries for the franchise. So yeah, that would be the way to go. I would think, and listen, if someone signs them and we don't want to match that, well, we get two first round draft choices. Not too bad.
Yeah, it's a good point, Scott, because there are different ways. That's why when the franchise tag and transition tag period became available yesterday, that's something to look at. And maybe the Giants are looking at that as well. Or maybe they're saying, Scott, what we're saying right here is, all right, DJ, you want 40 mil? You want 35 mil? Best of luck to you, Danny Dimes. Go find all of those dimes out there in the market and come back and show us that $35 million contract, and maybe we'll match it then. Until that happens, here's $27 million or here's $31 million, and you can take it or run. And that is part of the conversation. Scott, it's not just Daniel Jones they'll have to answer that question for and maybe have the transition tag, franchise tag conversation about. It's also the running back in Saquon Barkley, who, again, was drafted the year before Daniel Jones with the number 2 overall selection. And that wasn't Joe Shane. That wasn't Brian Daboll. That was Dave Gettleman. Scott, running backs are not overly valued now in the National Football League, and it does make sense. We do see it as bad as it might be for running backs' value and still have a huge component of today's offensive game plan, but they just don't see the money because there's not that much value in it. I mean, you can look at what the Chiefs did this year with Isaiah Pacheco, who went crazy at the end of the year into the postseason, was a huge component of their path to win a Super Bowl. He was a 7th round draft pick out of Rutgers, and Scott will enter next year as probably a top 10 running back in the National Football League. Yes, I know it's a one-off scenario or it's a dime a dozen type scenario, but it doesn't really lead you to paying Saquon Barkley $20 million a year in guaranteed money. So that will be another conversation the Giants are having. Scott, what is their plan for Saquon? What do you think it might be?
Yeah, and you can't use it on both guys. You can't use two transition tags or even one transition and one franchise. You get one shot at glory here. So you got to pick one of the guys. I would try and sign him, Ben. You're right. You know, the running backs, you know, the theory is dime a dozen. But sometimes it's a little harder to get that dime than you think it is. He's more than that, though, for this Giant team, especially if you do move on from Daniel Jones. I mean, who does the Giant fan have to root for then? I mean, he's the face of the franchise. And that there comes a value with that. You know, I'm not locking myself in for 4 years, you know, like you would maybe a quarterback or a linebacker or something. You probably can get away with 2 guaranteed years, sign up to a 3 or 4 year deal with, as you said, about $20 million guaranteed. Is that worth it? Yeah, you got to give the Giant fans something. You have to. And if it means you swallow a year, then so be it if he gets hurt again. But I would give him the money, you know, reasonable money, nothing crazy, but I would with him.
Yeah. And again, that will be all part of the conversation. Scott, we're not having different talks than maybe any business might, right? It's the value of what you can get for this player. How much is Saquon worth relative to what he can do and his production that it's not going to hamper you moving forward? The interesting thing, Scott, for the New York Giants in general is last year in the first offseason with Joe Shane, the first year entering for Brian Daboll, they didn't do a lot in the offseason. They didn't acquire a ton of people. I think their biggest free agent acquisition was Tyrod Taylor, who was the backup behind Daniel Jones and didn't really see a ton of playing time. That might have been their biggest spending last year in the offseason. I think it was Joe Shane coming in and taking a look at everything he had and trying to pick up the pieces from the Dave Gettleman era and make his own way, where now you would expect in year number two, Scott, for the New York Giants to be a little bit more aggressive and get some more offensive pieces for Brian Daboll and Mike Kafka to have fun with and to allow whoever's playing quarterback or whoever is at running back to have even more success this year. Because, Scott, last year the win total for the Giants was 7, 6.5 at times throughout the offseason. Obviously, they went well over that, and they overperformed on expectation. It's a similar conversation, Scott, for the New York Jets. When you look at the prices right now for both of these New York teams, let's go to the Super Bowl 58 odds and see where that stands. Currently, the New York Giants have a price of 40-1 to win the Super Bowl. It was not nearly that short last year. Scott, the Jets are even higher up. 25-1 for the New York Jets to win Super Bowl 58. As you count them up, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That's the seventh, tied for the sixth best price, in fact, alongside Jacksonville, oddly enough, Scott, to win the AFC or to win the Super Bowl from the group out of the AFC. When you overperform on expectation and there is the hope that you get some big pieces in an offseason market, Scott, it means that you then have to perform on what that new expectation level is moving forward.
Yeah. And you just wonder, you know, with the Jets win, is that built in with Aaron Rodgers, or would Aaron Rodgers' number go make that number go even lower, which I think it would, right? You're not getting great value on all those. I think if you ask me, I think the Giants go backwards rather than go forwards. You know, even if they re-signed Daniel Jones and then got Barkley back, I could easily see that team getting 6 or 7 wins. I think a lot of these NFC teams were a product of the NFC just being god-awful. I don't know if it's going to be any better with all these teams needing quarterbacks, but I could see some of these teams that made the playoffs last year, especially the Giants, going the other way. So how about, let me throw three quarterbacks at you. Crazy names, but just are they worth anything if the Giants and some of these other teams can't get their main guys? Carson Wentz, Jameis Winston, and dare I say it, even Matt Ryan.
Anything? I'm not a believer in Carson Wentz, Scott. I have not been since the end of the 2021 season when he was the starting quarterback in Indianapolis. They needed just one win over their final 2 weeks to clinch a postseason berth. They were an 8-point home favorite against the Las Vegas Raiders. They lost that game outright. They were a 15.5-point favorite on the road in Jacksonville against the Jaguars. I know it's been a house of horrors for the Indianapolis Colts, but they needed just to win the game outright. They lost the game by 2 touchdowns. That's when I stopped believing in Carson Wentz as a viable winner at the quarterback position in the National Football League. I don't think you could look at what Matt Ryan put on film last year and say, all right, that's a guy we want to invest in. Could he contend for a job? Could he be a suitable backup in desperate need if your quarterback went down and you could turn to a guy with veteran experience? Sure. Somebody to really invest in this offseason? No. Jameis is an interesting case, right? There is so much talent there, Scott, when things are good and things are positive, but you can't outweigh the negatives. 2 years ago, in the last year that Sean Payton was the head coach in New Orleans, I truly think that was Sean Payton telling Jameis, this is what you are going to do. Here is how you're going to do it. You are going to follow this to a T, and you will be a suitable mid-level starting quarterback in the National Football League. When Sean Payton is not there, we see really what Jameis has left to do on his own desires. And frankly, Scott, he's been really banged up the last 2 years, that injury concerns. Now, as Jameis Winston is truly a veteran in the National Football League, they are of concern. I think all of these guys, at best, Scott, could be in an open quarterback competition for a team that really doesn't have a ton of answers at the quarterback spot. But no, I don't think any of them, if they were acquired or signed as a free agent this offseason, would move any team's number, at least in a positive way. I'm not sure what it would do if it regressed in that certain manner.
Yeah. Winston's the interesting one. You know, you just wonder what happened. You know, he did show promise his first few years. He had that monster year with Tampa Bay. I know he threw a lot of interceptions, but that really was just that one year where he had that many interceptions. The fact that he couldn't beat out Andy Dalton, Ben, at the end of the year, even when Dalton was just showing who Andy Dalton was, you're just an average quarterback, no big deal. I mean, to not even give him a shot, but there's got to be something wrong there. They're just, I know you're right, he was banged up a little bit, but I think at the end of the year he was healthy enough. At least he was suiting up anyway. But not to even get an opportunity. He would be the one I'd put the asterisk next to and just say, let's, you know, kind of like a Mitchell Trubisky with Pittsburgh last year. Let's just bring him in and just see what he has to offer us, you know?
Yeah.
It's very weird with him.
Is that – so I guess that is kind of the name that when you offer up these quarterbacks that you just threw in there, Scott, you kind of think of. Last year, Mitchell Trubisky got whatever deal he did from Pittsburgh. I think it was 2 years, like $14.5, $15 million. Obviously, probably too much, but not bad for what that quarterback market was going for. And there was a thought maybe in a new situation that with this and that, that it could
work out. I thought it was a good one. Yeah, right. I thought it was going to work out. I did.
Listen, I thought it was a sensible deal for the Pittsburgh Steelers, right? It made sense for what they needed in hopes of getting that rookie quarterback to take that next step, and Kenny Pickett did that toward the end of the year, but it didn't really work out. Mitchell Trubisky wasn't great for Pittsburgh, benched multiple times throughout the year. So I don't know. That's the kind of idea, right? Like, is that the benchmark? If you're signing Jameis Winston, are you under the idea that eventually, hopefully, you have somebody else in place that can overtake him? Or are you signing Jameis Winston, I guess, Scott, to be your guy and to lead the way through 17 regular season games? I guess it would be level setting to truly understand what you're asking out of Jameis Winston.
Yeah, and, you know, and then you got to compare it to the Seattle Seahawks situation, right? It's kind of similar in that, all right, they gave Geno Smith the starting job, but did they really, really, really believe in Geno Smith? You know, probably not, but Geno played well. So now what does Seattle do? Do they invest in a guy that they really kind of didn't believe in? Same thing if Winston played like that. You know, would you then give him a multi-year contract after that?
Yeah, it's a really good point, right? Is Geno Smith... That's a really good one, Scott, because that could be a lot of conversations if Geno Smith is the answer for Seattle. We'll finish up the show on Football Full Circle up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Just a few more minutes left right here on Football Full Circle on the Sports Grid Radio Network and Sirius XM Channel 159. He is Scott Wetzel. I am Ben Stevens. Just a couple more minutes, Scott. And you said something right before we got to the break about the idea of if you were to bring on a free agent quarterback this offseason and they have what could be considered a career year, even if there didn't seem to be all that much optimism, what does that mean for the years after? And Geno Smith is a great example for that. No, he was not signed by Seattle entering 2022, but he had a career year. He was a Pro Bowler. He was the comeback player of the year. In the National Football League, he threw for a career best, 69.8% completion percentage, near 70, started and played in all 17 games for Seattle this year. His first year, Scott, throwing for more than 3,100 yards as a starter, he threw for nearly 4,300 and tossed 30 touchdown passes. Career years across the board, the least amount of interceptions, all of that. But, Scott, do you think that's convinced Seattle that Geno is their guy this year, next year, 2 years after that? Where does that leave the Seahawks in your mind?
Yeah, up the creek without a paddle, right? You're kind of living in purgatory. He's an unrestricted free agent, so you have to sign him. You're going to compete against other teams to sign him. I don't know what other options they have right now as far as backups or other plans in their brain where they're going to go, you know, free agent-wise, but they're kind of stuck. I mean, you're damned if you do, damned if you don't, right? You bring a guy in like this, or like Winston, he does lousy. Well, what was the point? He does well, then it's kind of like, now what do we do? Do we really give him?
Yeah.
Somebody's going to give him a three-year contract, Ben. 3-4-year contracts with 2 years guaranteed, undoubtedly. Yeah. Do you want to do that? $35 million, $75 million guaranteed for Geno? Ooh, and Winston then, maybe? That's tough. But you got to do it, I guess.
It's your point, Scott. And Seattle does have the fifth overall pick in this year's NFL draft. Yes, they made the postseason, but because of the Russell Wilson deal, they own the Broncos pick. That's number 5. There could be some good quarterbacks on the board. It's all a very interesting conversation. Scott Wetzel, thanks so much. I'm Ben Stevens. That does it for Football Full Circle on Sports Grid Radio today.
Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.